We have not seen significant side effects in children. We have seen significant protection.
Hi there, it's WAMC News Director Ian Pickus. And on this episode of the WAMC News Podcast, we check back in with Albany County Health Commissioner Dr. Elizabeth Whalen. Well, with the start of summer, the New York State Department of Health is starting to shut down some mass COVID-19 vaccination sites. At the same time, Albany County is reporting its lowest number of COVID cases and hospitalizations since April, following a severe uptick earlier this spring. The good news locally also comes as the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention announced young children under 5 can begin to receive a COVID vaccine. It's been a while since we've checked in about the state of the pandemic. How do things look from your perspective right now?
Right. So we are starting to see a decline in the number of cases in Albany County, which is good after a significant surge at the beginning of the season. This is something that we see during the summer and we see with other respiratory viruses. So it is something that we kind of expected, although with COVID, we are never sure what will happen next. So I do think it is reassuring that the numbers are going down, but we also have our eye on the fact that things could start to get worse again in the fall.
So what's your message right now for parents who have heard that the federal government is signing off on the COVID vaccine for children under 5, but may not be sure about what they should do?
Right. So this is new news. And the FDA cleared vaccine for the 6 month to the 5-year-old group on Friday, and the CDC did so on Saturday. This is new. Children age 6 months to 4 years of age can get a Pfizer 3-dose regimen as a primary preventative against getting COVID-19, or a Moderna 2-dose regimen. This has been well researched and looked at in order to obtain the EUA authorization. Studies had to be done to prove that the vaccine was safe and effective in this pediatric population. I think it's an important preventative. I think there are a lot of parents that have been waiting for their children to be able to be of this age to be able to be vaccinated. I think it does show significant prevention against serious illness, and it also can provide greater confidence for parents with children participating in school, daycare, and other activities.
What kinds of vaccines do children normally get, and what kinds of requirements are there for pediatric vaccines?
Are you talking about vaccines in general?
Yes.
So this is an important topic, and I'm glad you brought it up. Pediatric vaccines are very important preventive strategies for kids and part of routine pediatric care in this younger age group. In 2019, New York State did pass a law that got rid of a religious exemption for this vaccine for the school-age population. So it's another really important message to make sure that children, parents of children this age, of any age, school-age children, get in a conversation with their pediatricians to make sure that they're up to date with their general pediatric vaccinations before returning to school so that they don't face potential exclusion from school.
So let me ask you a question that has come up in some of the political debates that have taken place in New York State in recent days, as we're in a political primary right now. Some of the candidates have been asked about a pediatric COVID vaccine and have said, well, you know, MMR, that's kind of settled science, but this COVID vaccine is brand new. We don't know what the risks could be, and I'm not giving it to my child.
Right. And I understand that. I would say that the COVID vaccine is not part of the recommended childhood vaccinations or mandated childhood vaccinations. It is certainly recommended. You know, I think that with any new vaccine, we are always going to have people that are concerned. But really, what we have to know at this stage is whether the risks of getting COVID are worse than the risks of getting the vaccine. And this is, you know, the benefits that we have for protection in the early studies that have been done are very reassuring. We have not seen significant side effects in children. We have seen significant protection. We know that, the strains of that we have seen lately with the Omicron subvariant are much more transmissible. So, the pediatric population is at risk because of high transmissibility. They don't have as high a risk of severe disease, but, we can't always predict that. So I think that, having a conversation with the pediatrician is going to be very helpful for parents. And in particular, in this younger age group, we really feel that the best place to get children vaccinated in the under five is at their where they get their normal vaccines with their primary care provider.
How do you feel about where we are in the state of the pandemic generally? The backdrop of that question is a lot of the public officials and public health officials who earlier were advocating mask wearing and shutdowns to a degree now say, look, we've got a lot more tools available to deal with this as a disease and to treat it rather than sort of putting all of our focus on reducing the potential spread of the virus.
Right. So, I do think that there has been a vast amount of information and tools that have become available, including treatment with antivirals for the adult population. Anyways, this is good. We still do recommend if you're in an area of CDC high prevalence to mask. I will say in our department, we continue to mask on a daily basis. This is a good preventive strategy, as well as, hand washing and social distancing and staying home while you're sick. I think that the pandemic has certainly increased awareness around this, and this can also, help in transmission of other things like influenza and other respiratory viruses. So I think these behaviors will probably stay with us. I think that they are helpful, but, treatment for those who have COVID, the options have expanded.
Do you worry that we don't have an exact sense of the amount of virus circulating in Albany County and New York, given the prevalence of now in-home testing and the likelihood that people may not be reporting their results to public health authorities?
So I think that that's a concern, certainly, but we do have other ways that we look at the disease prevalence that I do think are reassuring. So one thing that we have in Albany County, which has been piloted in several areas around the state, is the looking at wastewater and seeing where this is a leading indicator. So we get reports on the New York State Department of Health testing of the wastewater in two of our plants in Albany, and how this is expected to correlate to disease activity. And we are starting to see that trail off a little bit. So I think that that's helpful. The other thing that we are seeing that's reassuring is a decrease in hospitalizations. So I think with these two things, we can pretty much have a good sense of security that the numbers at this point are trending down, and that is likely true, despite the fact that we don't have exact numbers from the home test kits.
Lastly, let me ask you a question I've put to you in other seasons when we've talked. Separate from the COVID-19 pandemic, what public health concerns do you have right now for the summer season?
So I think during the summer season, we're always concerned about tick-borne illness. We do see higher rates of Lyme disease and anaplasmosis in our population in Albany County. It's an endemic problem. So we do encourage people to be careful. It's wonderful that we have this beautiful summer season to be able to be outdoors. But please practice awareness around tick-borne illness. And we have a lot of information on that on our website. So that is probably one of the more important things that I think of in the summer. And, of course, we do continue to follow very closely with the evolving epidemiology of COVID.
Albany County Health Commissioner Dr. Elizabeth Whalen, thanks as always for taking the time to speak with us.
Thanks. It's my pleasure.
All right. That does it for this episode of the WAMC News Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time, I'm Ian Pickus.